Time right now is 7:07. We're going to forego our normal opener in the 7 o'clock hour because we've got guests. We've got guests in the studio this morning. Johnny Bush and Ron Knuth, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How y'all doing?
Big G, we're doing so good. I think I'm backing up, man. This is early time for me. It's about what time
Rock
we go to
star,
bed.
About time to go to bed, huh?
Yeah.
Well, Ron, good morning to you.
Well, good morning. Since I heard that Quick Lane will fix your fat, I'm so glad to be
here. We're
going to
go on over there after the show and get fixed, huh? The you guys, now, big show, Saturday night. Let me turn the volume off on this thing. Big Saturday, show Saturday night out at the Hunt Store. Is this going to be a full band, Johnny Bush and the Bandoleros? What are we doing?
The band's going to be full. No, we're going to do a three-piece.
Okay.
Yeah, kind of a meet and greet, up close and personal.
Right.
I won't trim my nose hairs, you know.
Just keep your head down.
No, I'm keeping it up. It's up close and personal. And we're going to call ourselves the We're Not Brothers.
The We're Not Brothers.
Yeah.
Okay, so, Ron, you're going to be playing fiddle.
Yeah, and Wayman McBride is going to be playing guitar. We couldn't get him up this morning, so we left him in bed. And, yeah, we're going to do a little trio, and I'm going to bring all my toys.
Okay. All of your toys.
All of my
toys. Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mandolins and fiddles and accordions and dobros. And,
really?
Yep. Yeah, play all of them.
Wow. I am looking forward to that now. And what, you just going to sit up there and sing?
That's what I'm going to do, sit there and sing and try to remember some of my songs that they request.
How long have you been doing this? This is 2014. When did you start?
Oh, I had my first record in 67. That's 67. And I had my first record in 67. I was still working fronting the band for Willie Nelson at the time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And in 68, when I went out on my own, the end of 68, started the Bandoleros.
Right.
And we've been together ever since.
And that band has seen a few famous faces?
Yeah, well, we have, and we played everywhere. I guess it started out, I had a lot of singles booked. And for like $250, $300 singles, and they were like Chicago, Toledo, Detroit, and I already had the band because I was working in Texas with the band, but I had to honor those dates. Instead of calling in sick, well, I took the band with me, you know. I figure, you know, if you got a commitment, you...
Sure.
That's just part of it, you know, and it worked out to where I'm glad I did now. I guess nowadays these guys, when they get a hit record and they had dates booked and they put the band together to have a hit record, and then they cancel those dates. I don't think that's right, you know. I think...
You know, you talk about that. I saw in a little town where I grew up, and not that I am was necessarily a fan of the music, but I remember the story well because I was living there at the time when Alabama first broke. And when they really came on the scene, that first album, when they had all the hits on that first one, they had booked a show locally, and they had, I think that they were going to pay him like $550 to come in and play. And, you know, for a month, they were on the radio like 24 times a day leading up to that show. But those guys came in and, you know, I mean, they were already getting big national press, but they came in and they honored that show at $550. And that was somewhere, I guess, late 70s.
Well, I think that's cool. I think you honor your commitments. Mm-hmm. I really do. Because then there, when you start on your way down, which we all do, you know, it's an up and down thing, you know. And when you start down, people remember that, you know, I think.
How hard is it to maintain? I mean, you've been there. You got in a situation where you riding the wave on top of the world, and all of a sudden the wave was jerked out from under your board. It really was.
It was. I've got a book out. We was released in 05, I think it was, called The Real Story of a True Story of Texas Honky Tonk. And not only did it deal with the true story of the Texas Honky Tonk, it deals with my vocal problems that I had. When I had Whiskey River was number one everywhere, and I had was going coast to coast. I think went coast to coast twice that year. Anywhere from Jacksonville, Florida, to Los Angeles and Palomino Club, the Knott's Berry Farm, and we played Vegas twice. And just one night, we was in South Texas, and I went to hit a high note. It wasn't there, and I noticed a tightness in my throat, and I thought maybe it was allergies or fatigue or whatever. So I went to my ENT. I had my larynx checked regularly because I heard that Jack Green and Jeannie Seely and some of the other ones started having vocal nodules, and that could be the that would have been easy, but they didn't know what I had, and they kept saying your vocal cords are fine. So that started a 30-year struggle with trying to find out what it was. And they finally, some colleges and universities throughout the country started doing some research on it, and they found out that 1 in 35,000 have what they call spasmodic dysphonia. And that's a condition where the part of your brain that sends a signal to your vocal cords to phonate is in short circuit, like a wire, and they don't know the cause nor the cure. So the first thing they do is they send you to a speech therapist. Now, I'm not knocking a speech therapist because it has its place, you know, for stroke victims and things like that, but for somebody like me, I'd been talking all my life. I thought that's a ridiculous thing, you know. But I tried it. I tried everything. Ron Canute even took me to a chiropractor, you know, like maybe it was something in my neck. We tried everything, and finally they found out that it was spasmodic dysphonia caused by a neurological condition. And just in 2000, 2001, I think, or 2002, a young doctor started experimenting with Botox. You know, women had been using Botox to erase wrinkles and facial tics. So he thought it would be a pretty good idea to try this method that he had, and it worked. So,
wow.
And I don't think it gets enough recognition. So we're trying now. I'm telling people, you know, everywhere I go, that if you have any kind of vocal problems, to be sure and contact me through my website or whatever. And I'm saying I help a lot of people. I don't. What I do, I'm the go-between. They contact me, and I have them talk to me on the phone. I got a speech therapist in New York City at Columbia University, and she will listen to them on the phone and can tell whether they have spasmodic dysphonia or not.
Really?
So
I listen.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if that's the case, after she evaluates them on the phone, they come to me and I take them. I don't send them. I take them over to Dr. Blake Simpson, and just a little. 5 or 10 minutes and a little Botox in about 4 or 5 days, it starts working, and you're up and running for about 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks, okay. Tell you what, I want to talk. I want to talk some more about that, Johnny. We got to. I need to take a short break. We need to come back and talk with Cousin Nancy real quick out of Utopia Rescue Ranch. Find out who our pet of the week is. But I want to talk some more about that because the first time that you told me about this, I found it intriguing. The fact that you of your involvement, and in fact, you know, this is an opportunity for you to give back, and well, you know, doing what you're doing.
Sure, I'm glad to do it. You know.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with Cousin Nancy and more Johnny Bush this hour. Stay tuned. 25 this morning. Still 26 degrees out there. Sun is shining. It is going to be a beautiful day out here in the Texas Hills. In studio, Ron Knuth, Johnny Bush. Got the big show going on at the Hunt Store. This Saturday evening, now, this thing is going to start, when, around 6 o'clock or so?
You know.
I have no idea.
Something like that. I
guess think for some reason the 6 to 10 stage.
I don't think the time is on there, is it?
I don't see it on here, but I think it's 6 to 10 is what John Dunn was telling me. Of course, the Country Caruso, yes. You told me one time that... you're always happy every time Willie records another version of Whiskey River.
Yeah, I certainly am, yes.
or anybody else for that matter.
I think last count it was about 27 times, you know. I put that in my act, too. I said it makes that little trip to the mailbox every 90 days a happy one, you know. And the trip back even a happy one. So I don't want to go back to the house, you know.
it's got to be even with the issues with your voice that you have had to deal with throughout your career, it's got to be rewarding for you to be able to do the things that that you want to be able to play music, to be able to sing, to be able to be on stage, to be able to follow the passion that that you love.
It isn't, you know, the thing about it is not just that if you're singing for a living, if you're whatever you do, if you lose your ability to communicate,
right,
what do? You know, I'd be in airports by myself. The band would be on the bus, and I'd fly, and I'd be in an airport, and my flight would be canceled, and I'd have to walk up to the desk and try to ask them when it would be rescheduled, and I'd just, my voice would just close up.
Oh, man.
All right, back in the no cell phone, I'd try to use a payphone, and I would try to call home, and the operator cut me off because she couldn't hear me or understand me. You can't order. One thing I love about some of these restaurants that print pictures of food on the menu, I could point. But it was, Ron mentioned a while ago, I think before we were on the air, I'd make a song list, and I would write and hand everybody notes, you know, because it was all I could do to muster up enough voice to try to sing. And my vocal cords were just involuntarily just slammed shut, and that's what spasmodic dysphonia is. That when you try to speak or talk, your vocal cord just slams shut, and you get to where you sound like this.
Oh my goodness!
And by singing, they said, "Well, how the heck did you sing when you can't talk?" Well, singing is controlled yelling. So if you're yelling at the top of your voice, you're forcing air through something that's trying to close, and in doing so, they begin to swell. And after about 10 minutes, well, your vocal cords are swollen, and then you have a breathy, horsey sound. So I had to deal with that. And people got to complain. They'd look up there, and I wouldn't be there. I thought, well, you know, I couldn't sign autographs, take pictures, anything like that, because I couldn't talk. And what was scary is I didn't know why, and they couldn't tell me why. And I thought I was the only person in the world that had. I felt isolated, you know.
Sure.
So Ron and Hank Singer, the guys, would teach me a few things on the fiddle so I could stay up on the stage and stay visual. So people would look up there and I'd be there, you know. And a lot of them, you know, they're out there drinking, having a good time. They look up there and see you there, but they're fine with that. You
right.
know? So I never did become a fiddle player, but there's some people think I am. So that's the whole trick, you know.
It's always tough when people would want to come up on the bus, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, we want to see Johnny. We want to talk to Johnny, you know. And we'd have to tell him, you know, he can't visit with you right now, you know. And there were, of course, some people that would actually get kind of belligerent. Say, what's the matter with him? Why won't he talk to us?
Is he too good to talk to us?
Yeah. You have to explain, you know.
Yeah.
He can't.
Yeah.
And how am I going to explain to him? First of all, I couldn't explain it. I couldn't talk. And what was I going to explain? I didn't know. And the doctors didn't know, you know.
The only problem now is we can't shut him up.
Right. Make it up for lost time.
Yeah. So, Whiskey River, when did that come out?
I recorded it in 72, I think. In 72. And it was number one. And this happened in April. My voice went out in April of 73.
And you went until when?
Oh, my God.
2002 or 2003.
Along the line, I had vocal coaches that would give me vocal exercises that would strengthen a register in my voice that I didn't know I had, where I could speak like this for a while, you know.
Right.
Which was not my natural voice, but at least it was a voice, you know, and that helped a lot. But the singing, actually, I think Ron maybe tell you more than I can. I think it's improving every show now.
Great.
That my highs are coming back, and I'm almost back to where I was when it happened, as far as the mids and the highs. And,
really?
And doing the tunes that I recorded, the keys that I recorded them in back in the 60s, you know, or 70s. In the late 50s, 60s, they're coming back. It's coming back.
Wow.
To where it's comfortable for me. And then when I get through doing a 90-minute show, and then we sign CDs and take pictures, and I go back and finish out with the band, and that night going home, I can still talk with the guys, you know. And before, I'd go straight to my room and shut the door. I couldn't talk.
Man, that had to be...
It's devastating.
I would imagine.
Now, if they would have told me at the time, you have a condition known as spasmodic dysphonia, and we don't know the cause or the cure, but you're going to be that way the rest of your life, I don't know how to handle it. But the fact that they didn't know and they couldn't tell me, I thought, well, whatever it is, it came on so sudden, maybe tomorrow it'll be gone. That's what kept me going.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, because, you know... I guess it's really a story of never saying die, never giving up, never quitting.
Well, like I said, if they would have told me at my first examination that this is what you have, you're going to be like that the rest of your life, and there's no cure, then I don't know how to handle it. But maybe there's, you know, good side to every story, that the fact that I didn't know that
right.
I kept going.
Right, right.
Like science say, the bumblebee, according to his weight and size and the size of his wings, it's impossible for him to fly. But he don't know that. So he flies anyway.
No limitations. There you go. Yeah. Okay. You had, before the break that we had, you were mentioning that you are working with people who have got similar.
Yes, I... Well, some names, Sonny James, it happened to him the same time it happened to me, and he had enough money to retire and just stay home. Well, I couldn't do that, and he came down about 5 years ago, and Dr. Blake fixed him up with Botox, and he was fine. But he had no desire to go back on the road anymore. He said, "I just want to sing in church." That's fine. But I said, "Man, you had the most beautiful baritone voice I'd ever heard." And so he went. And this is another story too. Vanderbilt University in Nashville is where most of your ENT doctors go to study their profession. They still will not recognize Dr. Simpson's method of going into the false card with the Botox. They're still doing one side. If you paralyze one vocal cord, see, Botox is a paralyzing agent. If you get botulism poisoning, you die because your respiratory system fails. Botulism is a paralyzing agent, but they give you just enough to paralyze those muscles to alleviate the spasms. Well, if you just do one side, you got two vocal. If you just do one side, then you walk around talking like this. It takes both vocal cords to phonate. And that's the way they do in Nashville. That's the way they do at the Vanderbilt University. And as of yet, they don't recognize his method.
Huh.
And... kind of burns me a little bit, you know, that they don't, because if they suffered as long as I did, they'd be not only accepting his method, but they'd be practicing that method. So
right.
People can talk normally and live a normal life.
Right. Yeah, because, I mean, if you can't talk, you basically have no quality of life at that point.
No.
Forget
your singer. What can you do if you can't communicate?
Right.
You're done, you know.
Mm-hmm. And you will help people who have...
Oh, yes, I do it. One story that comes to mind. Now, there's a lot of doctors yet that misdiagnose the problem. And one lady in New Orleans contacted me, and some doctor down there injected her vocal cords with Teflon.
Ooh.
So I contacted Annette, Dr. Kadar in New York City, that speech therapist I was telling you about. She talked to the lady on the phone, got her to come to Chicago to Dr. Bastian, who removed the Teflon from her vocal cords. She speaks normally today, so you got to be aware of misdiagnosis. That's why when they contact me, I have them talk to Dr. Kadar in New York, because she can spot it right off, whatever it is. One lady that sold insurance for a living, got to be talking like this. And talked to Dr. Kadar, and she healed that lady over the phone. I use the word healed. She, some method she used to correct the problem over the telephone. That lady didn't lose her job because of that.
That is amazing.
Another time, a correctional officer out in West Texas come to see me, and when he tried to talk, he would turn blue in the face and would shake. And I said, "You're a correctional officer. You're not allowed to carry a weapon behind the walls." And I said, "Man, when a storm happens, what do you do?" He said, "Well, I've got this little whistle." I said, "You're kidding me." So, make a long story short, when you have spasmodic dysphonia, it's the air coming through the vocal cord that causes them to slam shut. You have to keep your breath way down in your diaphragm. And in doing so, you expel all the air out of your lungs and try to talk. That's what it's like. So he would turn blue in the face, and I said, "I don't try to talk." And 2 weeks later, he called me on the phone. We had a conversation. That's very rewarding. You know.
After he had had the treatment.
Right.
Right, right.
And Willie sent me a guy out of Hawaii, like Charlie the Tuna, and when I met him at the airport, he was holding up a sign, "I'm Charlie," you know, because he couldn't talk, and fixed him up. So that's what I try to do now. Is like I said, it's very rewarding. I've been there. I know what it's like.
It's got to be, yeah.
I've been under that bus.
Yeah, and to be able to get the call back.
Oh, yeah.
And have a normal conversation with these people has got to be.
Now, like I said, it's not a cure. We treat the symptoms. But that's better than what you had, you know.
Sure.
A lot better.
Right. Right. We're on the phone, we're in the studio with Johnny Bush and Ron Knuth in advance of the big show Saturday evening at the Hunt Store. Going
to
be.
I'm looking forward to that. I like to do these little we've been doing several of those around town for different charities,
mm-hmm.
like the Alpha Home and like for the National Association for Spasmodic Dysphonia. We did, about the first of the month?
Yep.
And a lot of the doctors, a lot of the patients, and had a lot of fun doing that. And we found out we can do this trio thing. It's a lot of fun. It's up close and personal. And besides that, we can do a lot of the songs that we usually don't do on desk jobs.
Right.
You know, a lot of listening stuff. Excuse me. So I've been looking forward to it. And at Hunt Store, I've never been there.
Ron has. You're going to like it. You're going to enjoy it.
And I hope it's going to be inside if it's going to be a day like this.
Well, I was doing a little research on that. They've got a big patio out there. And when it gets cold, they put some heaters out. But what I have seen most recently, 66 degrees for the high on Saturday. So that will be. That'll be pleasant. That will be.
Well, they have room inside too to seat at least 75 to 100 people.
Right.
I was out there the other day and counted the seating, and it's mm-hmm. pretty close to that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about this trio that we're doing is when I first went to work with John back in 72, April, about the same time that he started having this problem. For all them years I've worked with him, we had to communicate with pencil and paper. And now,
well, I couldn't spell.
Now we have cell phones and we talk all the time. And the great thing about it is you can come to a show like this and meet and greet,
right.
Like they said. And also, when he's singing these songs, he's telling the story about the songs, where it came from, and
right.
and all that kind of stuff. That's great. It's really good.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Tell you what, it's 7:40 right now. I want to give folks a little taste of something that they may hear or may not, but it's still Johnny Bush on Big G's Texas Roadshow.
I know you burned some bridges in this town, and I'm a fool to think you'll settle down. But this old heart was always slow to learn, so I'm gonna play with fire where you're concerned. So add another fool to the flame, cause for everything that's lost, there's something gained. And I know that I'll get burned, but the pleasure's worth the pain. So add another fool to the flame. Is your game, but as long as just a single spark remains, I'll play by your rules till the end. Even though I know that I can't win, add another fool to the flame, cause for everything that's lost, there's something gained. And I know that I'll get burned, but the pleasure's worth the pain. So add another fool. Yes, I know that I'll get burned, but the pleasure's worth the pain. Just add another fool to the flame.
Johnny Bush on Big G's Texas Roadshow, add another fool to the flame. You have you ever had any thought or concern, any desire to try to stay with the trends of country music through your career? Because, you know, country music has gone through many different phases since you got in the business, and now it's unrecognizable.
Am I old? I can't hear me anymore. If I'm old, it's yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, what I'm trying to do now is diversify a little bit. I did a couple of sides. I brought you my latest Escape. I did a couple of sides with Randy Rogers. And Ron and I and my piano player, T, just recorded three sides with Reckless Kelly.
Oh, really?
And I've got a couple of things that came with Mickey Gilley. And we'll diversify a little bit.
But I still.
Mickey is exceptionally well. After that, you know, he was paralyzed from the neck down for a while. He went to rehab.
Right.
And now he can stand for a while. It didn't affect his voice at all. He can't play piano. His hands are still like this. But
right.
I'm betting on him. I bet you with his mental attitude and the rehab, I bet you he'll be playing piano within a year.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Yeah, the most recent Reflections here. You've got All the Rage in Paris,
right,
with Randy Rogers, and of course he sang harmony on Troubadour, and those are of course songs that we have brought to the listeners here. This is a yet another in a long line of just things that you can put this in the CD player when you drive down the road.
Yeah, we're
listen to the thing from start to finish and listen to it again.
All the Rage in Paris reminded me so much of the band and I back in when we started out. We were lucky enough to be so hot we didn't have to leave the state, and
that's pretty good right there.
And that record reminded me of our track record back then, and that's why we cut it. Ron played fiddle on it, done a heck of a job, I thought. And then Troubadour, people say, well, are you trying to cover George Strait? I said, well, first of all, you can't cover George Strait. I said, it's a great song, and it was 8 years, I guess, or so since he had it out. And I know the guy that wrote it, and I said, I've cut several of his songs, and if you listen to the words, it simplifies. Somebody's been as long as I have, or Haggard, or Willie, or anybody. I was a young troubadour when I came in on the song. I'll be an old troubadour when I'm gone. I just thought it fit what we're doing.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It's a great song.
The album is entitled Reflections. John Bush, the song Troubadour. Let's hear it this morning.
All right.
Still feel 25 most of the time. Still raise a little cane with the boys. Honky tonks and pretty women. Lord, I'm still there with them, singing above the crowd and the noise. Sometimes I feel like Jesse James, still trying to make a name, knowing nothing's gonna change what I am. I was a young troubadour when I wrote it on a song. I'll be an old troubadour. The truth about a mirror is that a damned old mirror don't really tell the whole truth. It don't show what's deep inside or read between the lines. It's really no reflection of my youth. I'm time to be like Jesse James, still trying to make a name, knowing nothing's gonna change what I am. I was a young troubadour when I wrote it on a song. I'll be an old troubadour when I'm gone. I was a young troubadour when I wrote it on a song. I'll be an old troubadour when I'm gone. I'll be an old troubadour when I'm gone.
Johnny Bush on the Road Show. The album is entitled Reflections. Where can they get this, Johnny?
They can get those online at my website. They can
johnnybush.com.
I don't know who's carrying it at record stores anymore. I think
are they going to Heart of Texas?
Heart of Texas, you can get them there. The trunk of my car, I guess.
All right. You gonna have merch?
Yes, we'll have T-shirts and bumper stickers.
Johnny Bush for President bumper stickers.
No, it's almost a big joke. There was a Dallas Wayne on Woody's Place one day happened to say, "A day without Johnny Bush is like a day without sunshine." So he kept doing that. So we put a bumper sticker out.
That's nice.
Just to get a kick out of it.
I like that.
And T-shirts, records, and Ron has some CDs on the table. And we just have a big time. We'd like to meet people and talk to them and take pictures, you know.
Sure.
It's fun to be again now because I like people and I like that intimacy with the crowds where before it scared me to death because I couldn't communicate with them now.
Right.
But I really enjoyed it more now and probably won't make the same mistakes. I don't know if you ever read my book or not. I'd like to send you a copy of it.
I'd like to read it. I sure will.
I'm like Quickie. I never made any money out of it, but it's fun. It's more of a confession. I think it tells my story. And maybe it might help a lot of people. I don't know.
All right. And we'll see you all Saturday night out at the Hunt Store.
Amarillo, San Antone, any old place I call my home, I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. Dallas, Fort Worth, San Angelo, Houston, Austin, or El Paso, I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. It is there I know my places. I see only smiling faces. And so, partner, the rest of the world's not worth a pound of good old Texas dirt. I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. Corpus Christi, Del Rio, west of the Pecos or old Waco, I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. Sweetwater, Beaumont, Wichita Falls, Port Arthur, Brownsville, I hear you call. I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. Where the tumbleweeds are growing, I know it's there that I'll be going to stay. I've been a Texan since my birth, no place like it on this earth. I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. Are growing. I know it's there that I'll be going to stay. I've been a Texan since my birth. No place like it on this earth. I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul. I gotta go. I got Texas in my soul.
View of the week's events in Kerrville on Tune and Tweet. Saturday morning at 7:30 on Kerrville's original radio station, 1230 AM, KERV, Kerrville.